A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Daf Yud Aleph, Menachas 11b, pagination is 22. We're starting from the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page, maybe seven lines up, with the word Hakometz. This Mishnah is going to parallel quite closely the Mishnah that we had in Maseches Zvachim, which discussed the focus, the thought pattern of a person at the time of Shechita by an animal. And over here we're going to be talking about the thought pattern of the person by a mincha at the time of Kemitza, when he takes that fistful of flour or the cracker, cakey type substance in the case of the Machavas and Marcheshes. In that Mishnah by Zvachim, we made a distinction between a person who is having in mind chutz l'mikomo, that he's going to eat or offer for service out of the proper location. And we discussed that that would make something possible, but it's not the case of pigul and therefore does not have kares, as opposed to a person who's having in mind to eat it or to offer it in the service lemachar, at an improper time. That's chutz lezmano, out of the proper time, and that's the violation of pigul, which does carry a more serious punishment, the punishment of kares. Before we do the Mishnah, I'd like to point out that this concept is a far-reaching concept in all areas of halacha. What was the intent at the critical moment? What was your kavana? We have, for example, in tzedakah, there's a concept of giving miser. A person should tithe their earnings. So 10% should go to tzedakah. But what counts towards the miser? So sometimes a person can make a pledge in an auction. He wants to get a certain aliyah. And one of the concepts that's explored in halacha is, what was your intent at the time that you made the commitment? Did you intend that that money should come from miser, which I think today is the common assumption? But what was your intent? You could have a person, for example, that goes into a Chinese auction and considers it an entertainment outing. They buy tickets and they plop them into different boxes, and it's very exciting. Does it count as miser or not? Well, if you didn't intend at that critical moment when you laid it out, you put cash in and you had in mind that it's an entertainment outing, perhaps someone who's a little bit more wealthy might think like that, then it's not clear that it's going to be miser. Another question, of course, is what happens if you win? Do we look at your outlay as buying a lottery ticket, like an investment, and at least that amount doesn't count as miser? Or once you leave go, etc. Nice questions, but what was your intent at the critical moment? Likewise, in the case of Zivug, man is with his wife. We're told that that critical time, the intent, if it's one of purity, of unity, of focus, one spouse on the other, then that's an opportune time for conception to occur in a very positive way, as opposed to the Gemara that describes people who are distracted at that critical time. Likewise, Zachreinu Lechayim, we're right now in the season of Elul, anticipating Aseres Yimei Tshuva, when we're going to recite those beautiful prayers. Zachreinu Lechayim, remember us for life. What is life? I mean, life, obviously, the heart is beating, etc. But a person's breathing. What is life when we say Zachreinu Lechayim? So one expression, one perspective is whatever it is that you can't get enough of. whatever you consider intensely living. At that moment that you pronounce the word Zachreinu L'chaim, what is it that you're thinking of? And getting back to our Mishnah, at the moment that a person does the Kemitza, what's on his mind? Says the Mishnah. Hakometzis amincha, a person who takes the Kemitza, le'echol shireho bachutz, to eat the remainder, the part that's supposed to be eaten, he has in mind that he's going to eat it out of its proper area. O kezayis mishireho bachutz, or even a kezayis, just one portion out of its area, is enough to be the violation, to mess up the korban. Lahakter kumtza bachutz, he has in mind that he's going to offer the komets that's supposed to go on the mizbeach, he's going to do it somewhere else. O kezayis kumtza bachutz, or even one kezayis of the komets is going to be done outside. Just to digress, apparently the komets very well may have more than a kezayis. He's having in mind that one kezayis, a portion, he's going to do outside. O lahakter levonta bachutz, or to bring the Levona outside, pasul ve'imbo kares, it's pasul, and there's no kares. As we mentioned, because it's not the quintessential scenario, which we'll discuss in a moment, of machsheves chutz lizmano, out of its proper time. This was out of its proper place. And therefore it's pasul, but it's no kares. The Mishnah continues, by way of contrast, if a person had in mind a different type of problem, a different violation, he's going to eat the remainder, which is supposed to be eaten, but he's going to eat it tomorrow, meaning out of its proper time. Or even one kezayis. To offer the komets on the mizbeach, but out of its proper time. Or even a kezayis of such. Olach de levonta lamachar, or to bring the levona tomorrow, out of its proper time. Pigul, v'chayovin alav kares, then it's this much more specified violation called pigul, and that carries with it the punishment of kares, on some level being cut off. Rashi makes a fascinating observation in the structure of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, when it mentioned the komets, talked about the komets or kezayis of the komets. And this took place both in the first part of the Mishnah and in the second part of the Mishnah. Lahakter komtza bachutz o kezayis komtza bachutz. And later in the Mishnah, Lahakter komtza lemachar o kezayis mikomtza lemachar, tomorrow, out of its proper time. However, when it came to the Levona, the Mishnah, if you read carefully, noticeably, doesn't say kezayis milevonta lemachar. It says lahakter levonta bachutz and lahakter levona lemachar. Doesn't say anything about a kezayis. And so Rashi asks, you could see it in Rashi, six lines up from the bottom of Rashi, on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, V'i kasha, if you will ask me the question, Amai lo tananami kezayis milevonta, why didn't the Mishnah follow its own pattern of the Levona out of bounds? Or kezayis of the Levona out of bounds? Toritz, you can answer, Hach stama, this particular Mishnah, follows the opinion that says that Levona kishera bekarno echad, even with a little particle, one particle is sufficient to be Levona. Hilkach lotana kezayis, therefore there's no reason to work with a kezayis as the amount, because when it comes to Levona, a significant amount is even a particle, because ultimately even a particle could make the mincha a kosher mincha, and therefore even a particle is going to be considered the same level of violation. And that's how Rashi approaches it. He says it follows the opinion that says that even a particle is significant when it comes to the Levona. The Shito Mikubetzes, which is on our page, Os Dalid, writes that Rashi indeed approaches it like this, and he makes objections. Number one, he objects, if it's following the opinion of the particle, so why doesn't the Mishnah in a parallel structure talk about or a particle of the Levona out of bounds, if that's what you hold? So develop the Mishnah. Also, he says, Ha'ukimna masnisin k'reb meir, the particular Mishnah we're dealing with is following a section that's established following Reb Meir and not Reb Shimon, not this opinion that follows the particle approach. And therefore, the Shita Mikubetzes says he doesn't, not comfortable with Rashi's answer to this question. And therefore, the Shita Mikubetzes approaches it in a different way. You could see it on the first wide line. Elanira Lomar, it's appropriate to say, De Samacha Kulu Kizayis de Le'el, that the Mishnah is relying that you'll be able to fill in the blanks, so to speak. Velochosh laha'arich. For who had din lelevona? The Mishnah holds that a kezayis of Levona would be what could have been written in our Mishnah, but didn't bother to write it because it knew you could figure it out. And this outlines really two different approaches. Whenever we have an anomaly in a Mishnah, do we approach it as the approach in this case of Rashi, which is that it's following an opinion that's unique and therefore, etc., or the Shita Mikubetzes approach in this particular case, where the Shita Mikubetzes says that it's the exact same as before, just that it didn't feel the need because it was considered so obvious. Those are two ways of looking at a problem, generally, when we study the Talmud. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.